All right, let's start with prayer. Father God, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be with your body, Lord, to look at your word. And Lord, we just pray right now, God, that your presence would be welcome here. Lord, that you would use this to just speak through these things, Lord, that you've put on my heart, these things, Lord, that I've been looking at in your word. And I just pray, Father, that this would resonate with this body. And Lord, that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Now, as a result of Tim asking this, this is not something that I've ever been in this position. So I've got a lot of respect for what Dan and Tim have done. Additionally, I don't really work off of bullet points, so I kind of structure things more as a blog post and more in depth. So I'm going to try to make some eye contact here and not just be heavily reading to y'all. But what I wanted to talk about was about witnessing, and it is specifically because we will be leaving next week, next Saturday, and a week from today, we'll actually be in New Orleans. Getting ready to go out on the streets and share the gospel with the people around a church there. And we've been doing it for several years now, I think 6-7 years now. And it's been incredible, the ministry that we have been able to be a part of, to where you know without a doubt God is there. That while he puts us in that position, while we go into that spot, he shows up and he reveals himself and he ministers to people that are hurting. He brings healing. There's deliverance. It's just, it's awesome to be part of. So with that, that's my basis of where I'm coming from. And the thinking here is that witnessing is something that we generally regard as a noble effort. At the same time, it's usually something that everybody is scared of and wants to run away from. It's not something that everybody wants to sign up for and jump in line. I want to go do this. For myself, I was raised in a pretty Christian environment. I grew up. My mom had divorced early on, I think before I was one and two, somewhere in there. And for the first 5 years of my life, it was mainly my mom and I, living life together. And in that time, our relationship was very close. This was like my best friend. And we were involved in going to church. She would read Bible stories to me. But when I was 5, she shared the gospel with me as we sat in bed, and she was reading me Bible stories, and she shared the gospel with me. And when I heard it, it was alive for me. It was something that was real. From that point, my life is completely different and changed because of this loving God who cared about me, because of this God who gave up of himself by providing his son as a sacrifice for a punishment that I was due in my sins. Now, while all of that may not have totally made sense in my mind as a child, the basics of it did, and it spoke to my spirit, and it was truth. Shortly after that, probably couple months to 6 months, something like that, my mom ended up getting married to my stepdad. And as a result of their marriage, we moved out from Dallas into Louisville, and very involved with local churches here. My stepdad ran sound. Mom was involved in choir. They both handled nurseries within churches, and every time there was a service, we were there. Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday night, any opportunity to serve, we were there. What changed for me, though, is some of the churches that we were going to, I started hearing differently about who God was. The loving, selfless God that I had been shown was now this God who's angry at everybody about everything, which was confirmed by the pastors yelling and screaming. It wasn't something that totally made sense to an 8-year-old. But I knew that hellfire and brimstone was bad, right? I'm sure that our Sunday school teacher tried to do the best that he could between classic children's Bible stories. But one of the things that was handed down was just the responsibility that we have to go save everyone around us from hell. That we've got to tell everybody about Jesus. It's all legitimate things. I would say that with caution, that has to be properly understood. And so as an 8-year-old, I was completely consumed with the idea that I did not want my friends going to hell on my watch. So that day after church and we came home, I started off, I had my commission. My friend behind our home, Mavish, I had to go tell her about Jesus. Did not want her to go to hell. And Mavish and her family had been living there maybe a year or 2 years and had gotten to know them pretty well. They were from India and very secure in their Hindu belief. However, that wasn't going to stop me. And in the alleyway between our homes, I stood there telling her about Jesus and how I didn't want her to die, but she was going to hell. She was going to burn forever. And with tears in her eyes, she repeated a prayer after me. Looking back, I completely know that that day, Mavish did not receive Jesus into her heart. She received fear. I was operating under a basis of what I thought witnessing was, what I thought the gospel looked like. And the reality is that there was truth in there about hell and Jesus and whatever, but that wasn't the gospel. So, with that, I want to look at what is witnessing. Very simply, it's defined as to bear witness to testify to give or afford evidence of. And if we're looking at the Bible for direction, if you'll look at Psalms 145, verses 10 through 12, I think that this gives a great view of proclaiming who God is and being a witness to who He is. Psalms 145, verses 10 through 12. Go for it.
Thank you. My favorite reading right here. Psalms and Proverbs.
Somebody else?
Thank you, Tim.
Somebody else back there? Good. Anyone?
Yeah, it's Psalms 145, verses 10 through 12. Would someone mind reading it?
I don't mind.
Okay.
I love it. Starting at 10?
Yes.
All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and the raiseth up of all those that be bowed down. The eyes...
That's good there. Okay. That's good there. I appreciate it.
I love songs.
The takeaway there for me is just the awesomeness of who our God is. And for me, when you have truly encountered Christ, you can't help but to express the wonders of who he is in these ways, poetically, emotionally, because it's so weighty in your life. It's real. I'll read this one, but this is Luke 24, 46 through 48. And this is here in the New Testament, here is another scripture that I would point to that gives a definition of what witnessing is. It's an example of what witnessing is.
You mind me asking one more time?
No, not a problem. It's Luke 24, 46 through 48. And said to them, thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So here is we're testifying to who Christ was, testifying to what he had done. I think this lays out, just within these two verses, lays out very simply what it is, what it means to then in turn to witness from a biblical viewpoint, not just me telling you, hey, do this or whatever, but what does it mean to express these things about him? What does it mean to share these things and show these things about him? In Psalm 71:15, and I'll also read this one since we're flipping back and forth, it says, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. How can you put into words accurately who God is, what he's done for us? You can't. But at the same time, it doesn't change the... again, what he's done within my heart or what he's done in your heart to then in turn try to express that, try to share that, try to show that. Because ultimately, in lifting up his name, it brings glory to him. Looking at these verses, and there's countless others, we can see that there is a pattern for we should be proclaiming God's name. We should be witnessing to his majesty. And yet the reality is that many churches, the body of Christ within them, is not active in living that out. It's easier for us to come into a setting like this and spend time worshiping God, spend time learning something, but then once we walk away from this environment, it doesn't really carry with us. And that's not to say that I've been beyond that, because in many ways I've failed myself in having an opportunity and at the same time allowing fear or awkwardness to get into the way of doing that. One thing that usually gets cited as a kind of get out of witnessing card is Ephesians 4:11, if everyone will turn there. And while you're turning, I can share with you that I've been in the Baptist church, I've been in the Methodist church, I've been in Bible churches, I've been in charismatic churches, and something unique to all of them is the idea that I've heard this talk and talked about as a reason in each one of them why, you know, we don't have to witness. That's not my calling. That's not my thing. Can I have somebody read Ephesians 4:11-14?
And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the training of the saints and the works of ministry, to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children tossed by waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning, with cleverness, and the technique of deceit.
All right, so here, according to Paul, Christ has provided the body of Christ, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and for what purpose? Anyone? Okay. So, if Ephesians 4:11 does teach that Christ has selected us to operate in specific areas, does that mean that we're limited to the focus of that particular calling?
No.
Okay. And exactly, because as you flip over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we have another letter that Paul also wrote. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1-5. It says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teaching to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Here we see Paul instruct Timothy to preach the word and also do the work of an evangelist. So according to the word of God, is it possible to serve God in our calling and also in other areas? Right? Very clear. So, depending upon that idea that we are somehow escaping this responsibility, obviously is not true. And so I think that we properly have to understand what is our responsibility. What is the place that God has put us in to be a witness? And if y'all will turn to Matthew 28:18-19. I'd appreciate it if somebody would read that.
Sorry, is it Matthew?
It is Matthew 28, 18 through 19. Correct.
Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit."
So here is clear instruction from Christ to the disciples, to us, as far as a responsibility that we have in being a witness, in our role in this world, to share the gospel, point to God, to who He is, what He's done. If you'll flip over to Acts 1, verse 8. Anybody like to read this one? Okay.
"But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the utmost part of the earth."
It's an awesome thing, this responsibility that we've been given. The opportunity to be His witness. And not only in this grand scheme of our world, but right where we are. And I think that a lot of times it's easy to get overwhelmed with the idea of, how do I achieve these things? How can I go about trying to take these people over here and let them know about Jesus? How can I get from here to there? And the reality is that you may not be able to, but you can by going and talking to your neighbor. You can by talking to the person that you encounter at a store or at a shop. We have that availability to then in turn move beyond what our limitations are. And it doesn't take money. It doesn't take all this technology, even though we're blessed to live in a time where we have that availability. The opportunity is incredible in front of us. Additionally, I want to look at Isaiah 12. This is verses 4 and 5. I think it's cool because a lot of times we look at the New Testament or the Old Testament and we think about, I'm just going to base everything on this particular side of the Bible. And we don't necessarily look at the fullness of what does the entirety of Scripture say. And the cool thing about this is here is in the Old Testament a commandment as well, a direction towards witnessing. This is Isaiah 12, 4 through 5. "And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth." My responsibility is to make this known in all the earth. Again, that may not fully make sense as far as how I get from here to there, but one of the things that I've seen over and over, even in just the smallness of what Sarah and I have done with Facebook, is the opportunity to interact with your community, to find what their needs are, to be light into their life, where for all purposes, I would never have that access. And in turn, that relationship has led to another relationship. And another. And it's an awesome thing to sit back and look at the different things that have been accomplished as a result of us taking seriously what God had done for us, and then in turn taking a platform or a position that we had to just make it known to others. the goodness that he had done in our life, just give it back. The hope and the love that we had, give it back. So the question here is, if we know what witnessing is, if we understand the context that we are called to it, what does this mean for my life? And so I think you have to begin with, what has God done in your life? Because in my life, I know there's something very specifically that he's done. And so I can begin from that perspective of, okay, Lord, you did save me. I have been rescued from punishment. You loved me even when I didn't love you. The hardships that I've faced, you've seen me through. I've got something to share. I've got something to put out there for everyone else. The truth is, though, if that hasn't happened in your life, and that's not the case, then you've got to meet Jesus, right? Because to know him is to be in a position to where you can share that. You can share his working in your life. Outside of that, though, it's very difficult to put that fully into words or reveal him for who he is. So I think that each one of us has to look at the ideas, you know, Lord, do I really know you? Have I really come to a place where I have submitted my life to you and I've allowed you to work in my life, saving me from myself, from this world? Acts 4:20, can y'all turn there and have somebody read? It's real, real short. Okay.
For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.
Okay, so the context of that small little snippet there is Peter and John have been taken in front of the Sadducees. And the Sadducees are calling them out and making issue with them for healing a man, for sharing the gospel, for preaching Jesus, because this goes against their religious views. This goes against the power and control that they had. And the idea here, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Like, in my life, I cannot not speak. Like, I have to speak. I have to proclaim these things. And so, whether it's going to New Orleans, whether it's in this room, whether it's, you know, somewhere locally, I have to share that because it's real. The same relationship that they had with Christ, the same way that they knew him. I'm blessed that I know that. And so for each one of us, if we have encountered Christ, if he has rescued us, if we have a daily relationship with him, where we're pursuing and we're talking to him, we're knowing him, that's an awesome thing. That's something that I got to share. I got to tell somebody about. Now, in context, I mentioned earlier that, you know, I myself have still dealt with, you know, situations that were awkward, situations where I felt fearful as far as being that witness. And so I'm going to read this this situation that happened about a year or two ago. I went out to a business in Louisville to certify their fire extinguishers. I was pretty excited about getting to go out there because we had been trying to get this account set up. We've been calling, trying to, hey, can we come out and do your fire extinguishers? And it had been months trying to get a hold of somebody, And so finally when we got it, I was like, yes, you know, I'm going to get to go out there. I'm going to get the work done. I'm going to get to invoice them. It's going to be taken care of. And so having put in the hours of calling and trying to get it, you know, track down where they were, what was going on, it was nice to know that this would be coming to an end and I would be ending the work that I put into it. So when I arrived at the account, I walked into the front door and looked around and there was no one in there. And so I kind of, hello, you know, looked around corners, still nobody. And so as I stood there for a while, I was kind of like, you know, I'm not the type of person that really wants to go snooping around. I'd rather just kind of wait it out and wait for somebody to show up. But I was like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and go out this door, see what happens. And so I walk out a door, which I guess led out into the, like, their warehouse shop area. And as soon as you walk out into there, I'm sure there was all kinds of, you know, supplies to what this business did. But the big thing that was striking was the fact that he had all these pinup girl calendars and posters displayed all over the walls of the shop. And as soon as I had walked in there, I heard the front door open. So I turned around, and here was the owner coming in from the front. I don't know where he was. But I explained who I was. That was kind of an awkward thing. I'm already in your business. I'm this far in. But everything was cool. He was happy to let me go ahead and get started. And while I was working on his extinguishers, he started explaining to me where he had been the last 3 months. And he said that he had walked in on his wife and caught her cheating on him. And as a result, they were now in this big, nasty divorce. And he's now got his son, and he's trying to deal with all this, and he had been depressed, trying to figure out what does he do with life now. And so he said, you know, I would come up here and sleep, and I just didn't want to do anything. So I wasn't returning phone calls or anything like that. So I from my human side, tried to engage with him. But I'm there to do my job. I got to get paid. Like, I got to get my work done. As I finished my job, I left to go back to the car and get my invoice ready, get everything figured out for what I would be charging him, and got everything taken care of, ready to go, walk back in and get him to sign it, and I'm going to walk away, and I really feel the Holy Spirit that I'm supposed to pray with this guy. It's never my intention, wasn't something I was thinking about, wasn't something I was planning on. Not something that I generally do in these type of situations, but very clear, just felt like I'm supposed to pray with this guy. I walk out the door. I return to my truck, all the while really feeling the Holy Spirit, just, you've got to do this. I am a very much in my head type person. Always thinking, always analyzing. And so I'm sitting there thinking, I'm just like, God, how can I do this now? Like, I was in there, now I'm out there. How am I going to go back in? How am I going to explain this to him? Hey, I've got to tell you the, you know. It's not making sense to me. And of course, it's not about me, right? So I come to a place where I was just like, God, I know I'm supposed to go in here and do this. So I step out of the truck and I walk back in, and of course he's like, you know, what are you doing back? And it's awkward explaining to him why I'm back there and that I'm supposed to pray for him, that I really feel like God wants me to do that. I can't tell you that the man received Jesus or anything like that happened that day. What I can tell you is I did share with him about Jesus. What I can tell you is that I prayed for him, his son, and his wife, who he was furious with. And even, I think, just the opportunity, this man who had shared so much pain and hurt and anger that he had towards this woman, to be able to sit there and allow God to be part of that situation in his life. You know, even if it was just for that one moment, I have to believe that God was doing something that, you know, I have no idea about. The reality of that, though, is God had a purpose for me in being his witness. There was this whole situation of, you know, me trying to get this account, trying to get this set up. Truth is any of our other guys could have gone out there to do it. It didn't have to be so personal that I put in this work trying to get it. I want to get it and go. But that's the way it worked out. And the reality is that that was set up for me to have that opportunity to go in there, to have this guy share these things with me. And I left this out, but, you know, when I went back to the truck and I'm relating to the idea that I'm supposed to pray for this guy, you know, I'm thinking, well, but I'm thinking, I just walked into your shop. Like, you're worried about your wife cheating on you. And there's no doubt that based upon what you're displaying within your building, you've been cheating with your eyes at least on your wife for years. So, I mean, there's, you know, there's the battle of, I can start going, God, I don't really need to do this. This guy's not worth it. You know, he doesn't, but who am I? Like, I'm no different than that guy. I'm no different in my weaknesses as a man or in things that I've been through. I'm not above him. I just know that I've received truth that's changed my life. Doesn't he deserve that as well? And so I think that we have to be ready, right? We have to be ready because we don't know when these opportunities are going to come. We don't know where God is going to put people in our path that, you know, are going through things that only we can relate to, only that we can pour into their lives. So we've got to be ready for those opportunities. At the same time, we have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, that as much as I'm going to be prepared and ready, that I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead me when I'm in those situations. And so the encouragement here is that we have Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem all around us, right? We have plenty of opportunities to be his witness, to make known his goodness, his mercy, his salvation. We've got to be ready for that. We've got to be willing. That's one of the big things of in going to New Orleans, is that anybody could go out there. Anybody could climb in a van, drive out to New Orleans, go talk to people, be part of their lives, get to know them. Anybody could do that. The reality is that in our group, we do it just as anyone else could. And again, we see God there. He shows up. And it's awesome in seeing people that were hope and seeing people that were hopeless and that thought life was only this one way, that there was no direction for them. Government was through with them. Their family was through with them. But yet God had a plan for them. God wanted to rescue them in what they were living in, the circumstances that they were going through. It's awesome to, in turn, be in a situation where God truly reveals himself to another person. It's cool when he did, you know, in my life, and he does it in my life, but to be witness to him doing it in somebody else's, it's just, it's unbelievable. So, no matter where any of us are, we all have this opportunity. We all have this commandment that this is what we are supposed to be doing. We have to personalize that. And I encourage you to take Acts 1:8 and personalize that. Make it that, you know, rather than Jesus speaking to us, it's you declaring these things. It's you saying, this is what my Jerusalem is. You know, whether that's Louisville or Dallas or Denton County or whatever, whether, you know, it's then in turn Texas and the United States and up to the world, our opportunity is incredible that we have. And as I said about technology, while we are not dependent to be his witness in using these tools, they're tools and we should use them. And so whether it is Facebook or whether it is email, whether it's a website, I encourage each one of you to use your gifts that God's given you. Maybe some of you are writers, finding a way to communicate the gospel, communicating your witness in such a way. Maybe you are visual and you have artistic abilities to express those things visually. Whatever it is that you have, gifts or tools, use those things. Because there's no telling what effect that will have on that specific person that God has put into your path. You just don't know.
I thank God for Facebook, or else I would not be in this wonderful fellowship. I thank the fact that The Well is on Facebook. Was able to meet Sarah, and then eventually Tim and Cindy. So it's just wonderful to have these social medias that we can reach out. I've had opportunities to meet people who are wanting to bless a family that might not have clothes or just various things. It's a ministry. It's there. And I love it.
Right. Absolutely.
Being able to minister to someone. It may not, it's, God says, if you give them a cup of water in my name, you're doing it to him. If the baby needs diapers, you're doing it to him. Whatever the situation might be, you are extending your hand of God, making a difference in that person's life.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Love it.
And I want to encourage, as far as that goes, that any time that you take part in these type of environments, so whether it is online as social media, or whether it is going up and talking to someone, please, please, please do it unto the Lord, right? Do it with excellence. You know, even if you're wanting to use your gifts and talents, you may not be able to do what everybody else can do with those things, but do what you can do with them. Okay? Glorify God so that when people look on what you're doing, what you're saying, there's an honor to God in what he's given you to say or how to say it. So that in turn, the way that they relate to you is, wow. I mean, there's a connection where we're not just, okay, I'm going to slappily throw something out there and hope that that sticks and that that means something to somebody. No, do it. Do it unto the Lord.
That very moment, it might be something they need to hear. Just something that you say that make a world of difference, that you can relate to them. Maybe something you're going through that they're going through as well. It's a matter of being there at that particular moment and saying those particular words. It's not so much actions all the time. It is words. It's what we say. We witness to that particular individual or individuals. And, I find that me being in that position a lot lately, I have to be very careful that I use my words wisely and let my words be edifying the Lord Jesus, not edifying me, but lifting him up.
Very much so. Is there anybody in here who has an example of a situation, just like I gave, where you had the opportunity to be a witness, to share the gospel, to love on somebody, to where it was, God put me in the situation. I know without a shadow of doubt, this was an opportunity for me to proclaim who God is. You want to share that with us?
Share?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So there have been many times in my work, here for the first time, I am a bivocation pastor. So I have a full-time job. I do this on Sundays. Actually, I'm a pastor all week long. I would say my job supports my ministry. But in my job, I travel a lot. And I travel with many different salespeople that are in our company. And there have been times, numerous times, where I've been sitting in a seat in the car next to one of my sales guys, or in a restaurant next to one of my sales guys, and I hear the Lord say, "You need to share with this person. You need to tell them who I am." And there are times where I didn't. There are times where I'm like, okay, this isn't the right place. This isn't the right time. You know, I'm here to do work. It's going to be awkward, kind of like what you experienced. And the times that I have opened up, I just trust you, God. I said, "You know what, God, I don't care. It's about you anyway. Trust you." In those times, I've been able to witness to at least 5 or 6 different sales guys in my company that, you know, just out of the blue, these opportunities open up. I've been in situations where I've had a guy knows nothing about my background, knows nothing about me being a pastor, brings up the Bible, brings up something about God, brings up something about faith, and there the door opens, right? And so I'm able to say, "Oh, by the way, I'm a pastor. Let's talk about that." And every one of these guys were not Christian. They weren't walking with the Lord. They didn't know who Christ really was. And I've been able to bring several people to a whole different perspective. One of these 5 guys has received Christ today. One of them is just a profound anti-Christian. He's not an atheist. Believes there's a God. Believes there's many gods. And grew up in church, but has just been so turned off by pushy pastors that I've had to bring a whole different view of who Christ is to him, and he's starting to open up and starting to soften up. And so those have been my experiences. You know, through my job, I've been able to go all over the country and witness to so many different people through that.
Right on.
It's been so cool. And it's not because I'm a pastor. I don't have any gift of evangelism, I promise you. I just know when God says, "I have an opportunity for you." And that's what we've got to listen for.
Does anybody in here feel like they struggle with fear? Like, I know what God did for me. I know that this is a responsibility. This is something that he's called me to. But the reality is like, man, I'm just too scared. It's too scary, the idea of going to talk to somebody that I don't know. Does that ring true for anybody? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's much easier when it comes organically, when there's a doorway open. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot tougher when you feel that calling and you don't even know how to open.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, there's situations where, you know, when you have a relationship with somebody, it's like, okay, this is a little easier, Jesus, like, to be in the situation and start sharing, and this is part of our life. Like, we're growing together. I can share this with you. To have that stranger, to have that person that you really don't know, it changes things. It makes it more difficult. At the same time, sometimes there's situations where it's easier to share with that person that you don't know because you're never going to see them again. It's like, okay, I can just... And then that person that maybe is family member or something like that, it's much more difficult because of our connection, because of relationship. Yeah?
Can I share something with you?
Go for it.
16 months ago, I was working with this gentleman that we had little booths, you know, that we work in, little quads, I guess. And he was always getting angry and using the F word and the GD word, da-da-da-da. And we would sit face-to-face. Well, every time he'd say something, I'm talking about Jeremy, she knows who I'm talking about, I would put a sticky note on his side telling him how much Jesus loved him. Or something about, "Day's going to get better, don't worry about it, da-da-da." Well, all of these months, I had no idea that those sticky notes and those kind words and those scriptures turned a gentleman in from an atheist into believing about Christ. So recently, we were moved, shuffled to different areas, and he looks at me and he tells me, he said, "Miss Carol, I want to thank you because it was your love that caused me to know that there is a God, there is a loving God, and that you didn't give up on me. You were always kind. You shared scripture with me." Now he is fellowshipping. He is prospering. He has a really wonderful woman in his life. But for someone to come back and tell you this little thing that you did every day made a difference in whether I believed in God or not. It was your love. And he, for me to hear him say that to me, it wasn't beating him on the head with scripture. It wasn't making him go to church or trying to make him go to church. It was that extension of showing him love, of letting him know, you know what? You're loved. Jesus loves you. And it was, it wasn't until about a week before last that he told me, he said, "You were one of the people that made the difference." Personality is totally different. He acts totally different. And it's a matter of knowing that, you know what? I have changed my mind that there is a loving God. And it's a never be afraid to step out in obedience when God is telling you to do something. Because that very word of kindness, that one good deed could make the world a difference.
Yeah, the reward is amazing.
Oh, it is. And for him to tell me that, I had no idea that he was an atheist. None. For him to tell me that I made a difference in his salvation.
But, I mean, for our lives, you know, did Jesus come to us grabbing and pulling us into this life?
He loved us into this life.
Right?
He used people who loved us unconditional.
Right. And so we do. We've got that responsibility to love people in the same way. And that's why if we are examining things properly, if we're looking at our lives, what Christ has done, it's like, again, man, how can I not tell somebody about this? Even if there may be difficulties in doing so, it's like, I got to tell somebody, whether it's, you know, somebody young, somebody old, like, it doesn't matter. Whether I know them, I don't know them, I have to live this. Nelson, what would you say as a guidance for those that might struggle with the idea of fear in being a witness?
Well, just from my own experience after being an evangelist, the street minister for over 30 years, most people don't realize that I had a terrible fear of witnessing. My wife can testify to that. And it was horrible. I was the worst. I mean, I had gotten saved. God had delivered me from alcohol. He had changed my life. And anytime the subject came up in a room with non-believers, I'd run out of the room. I would have things to say. And I struggled with that for quite some time. And it was a fear of man and a fear of rejection. And just as you've heard many times, my testimony was that when I started my business, I used an answering service. This is back before cell phones. And answering service had five or six ladies that would answer a fire chief's call for me, and then I'd call in and check for service calls. And the Lord spoke to me one day and said that I was to take this particular lady flowers. And I'd never even seen these ladies. This is just a room in Garland that answered the phone for a lot of companies, air conditioning and, you know, extinguisher companies. And I said, what? You know, and I was a young man, and this was an older lady at the time. And I told my wife, Mary, I'm supposed to go there, take her flowers, and tell her God loves her. And I wrestled with that for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks. Every night I'd come home from work, Mary would ask me, did you go take her flowers? And I'd say, I'll do it tomorrow. And then at the end of about 2 weeks, I called to check my calls, and the ladies at the answering service were all crying. Because the lady that I was supposed to take the flowers to had been shot in the head by her husband the night before and killed. And that brought me to repentance. I said, oh my God, what have I done? And I told God, send me to hell. I don't deserve you. And I went into depression for 2 weeks. But God brought me to Psalms 51. And David and his sins of murder and, you know, adultery. And I learned what real repentance was. And God didn't give up with me. And at that moment, I said, I will go anywhere. I will tell anybody you direct me to do. I hope she heard. Woman had been beaten. It was in the front page of the paper when she was shot and killed. And I said, oh my God. And can't undo what I did, what I didn't do. But every day I think of that. And every day I look around. And that's why I'm not afraid to go to Satanists, gang leaders, because I don't care anymore what people think. So I repented. And it's a fear of man, a fear of rejection, fear that you're not good enough, you're not going to say the right things. But you've got to conquer that. We've got to repent, like in all areas of our life. And so I tell that story not because I want anybody to know about it, but because if it will help you understand the seriousness of our calling to be His witness. It's not a joke. It's not something that should be put off. You need to repent if you don't witness. If you're not a witness, if you're not listening to His voice, like, who do you want me to talk to?
You've been drafted.
Right, all. But that's all. That's all I have. You asked me.
I did.
But too, I think, isn't after that like the instances of when you still take the body?
That was before that.
Was that before that?
Yeah. Okay. There were many times that I had divine appointments right in my hand, and I just refused. I was feared, overcome. Mary made me go back to Houston after a business trip that I was down there on business in Houston, and I told her I was getting my hair cut, and this guy poured his heart out, and I was supposed to share the gospel with him, and I wouldn't. And then I drove all the way home, and then Mary said, get in.
And told me, and I said, now that's going to cost you.
I know.
So we're going back to Houston.
So my whole family went back to Houston.
By the way, we're going to vacation at Galveston for a couple days, and you're going back in Goodwin. Because it was just, I knew that I knew. And I knew he struggled so hard with witnessing. And what's really scary is that he would go make an appointment and talk to the pastor of his church, you know. It's so hard to do. And they say, quit being so hard on yourself. Quit being so hard on yourself. You're okay. And then I said, he'd come home and I'd say, what'd they say? And I go, no, that's not right. And it was really that fear of man that I, you know, I had to keep him accountable because I didn't understand why he was, because I know the potential with him. I knew what God, and I knew the thing that we fear the most is that thing that God wants to take care of. Because, and then you explode in your passion for Him. And you don't really fear. But don't let a situation happen like what happened with the lady with the flowers. I mean, it just, it's always that thing with Him now that you don't wait. You don't wait. And it may be in our lives, I know there's times when I had that happen. God would do it, and I would back off, and I go, okay, I'm not waiting. And that's why people say, you know, would you pray for me? That, you know, as you think about it, would you pray for me? I say, no, I pray for you now. Because one time he had gone to work, and we prayed in the morning before he left, and he's like, I'm busy. And I'm like, I'm busy, you know, got the kids and all this stuff. You know, I'll pray for you. And he's like, okay, fine. So he goes out to work. And then around, I knew I was supposed to pray. And then I was just, I don't know. It's just that stupid flesh stuff we do. And I just got busy doing something else. And then around 9:20 or something, I get a call that my husband has fallen off the ladder with all these people around doing a system and broke his elbow. And I went, I did, because I knew I was supposed to pray for his protection. I knew that I knew that particular morning. And it was just one of those things, like whether it's witnessing, whether it's praying for somebody, you can't hesitate. You got to step out in faith. If God tells you to do something at that moment, it's because that there's an opening there. That person's heart may be open. And by the way, they may look at you and go, okay, yeah, you can pray for me. And then you pray with them and you feel like it's just a wall. That's okay. Your job is to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say go out into all the world, get them saved. You got to make them repent. No. Just give them the word. You give them the word that God's given you. That's what we're supposed to do. All of us are here because somebody told us. That's all it comes down to. Somebody told me. I can remember specific people. When I was a teenager working, this poor little youth pastor would come around and try to witness to me, and I'd say, me and Jesus are like this. And he would go, no, I don't think so. And I go, oh yeah, I know Jesus. And bless his heart, he just kept telling me. And you know that point, it was, how many years later, that maybe even 10, that I understood, and I remember him. So, it is. It's take that moment then and don't hesitate. Because like with him, and that's not to breed fear like the ladies think, but we don't know what's going on. We don't know. And those people, they need it then. They need it then.
That happened to me. A funny thing was when I was in the hospital, my arm was shattered, and she came running into the hospital room. I'm sorry, this is my fault. And I'm thinking, I was up on top of a vent hood at the Chili's, and I thought I knew where the ladder was. So I was lowering myself down to put my feet on the ladder. I missed the ladder completely and went all the way down and shattered my elbow. And she's coming in here, this is my fault. And I'm like, what? That was funny. But since that lady died, I can tell you several cases where I shared the gospel with people and they accepted Christ and they were dead a month later. Several cases. Several. So we don't ever know. And when that Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, whether you're checking food out at Kroger and a teller, you know, the Holy Spirit will tell you, if you listen, the Holy Spirit will show you. When you look people in the eyes, he'll show you who you're supposed to call.
Yeah, and all you have to say is, I don't know what's going on with you, but I just feel like the Lord is showing me that he wants you to know he wants you. And he cares for you. And every time, you know, sometimes I would be so afraid to even say that. I'm like, what if they start screaming and going, I don't know, and all stuff like that. And never once And I've been so many times when, especially I remember one young girl, and she went, oh, I needed to hear that. I'm going through a terrible time. And I was like, oh my gosh.
But
she
but a lot of times there may be situations where you're in that situation and you don't get that kind of feedback, and
right.
You're kind of like, okay, did I miss the Lord? Like,
no,
was I doing what I was supposed to do?
But the
truth of the matter is, like, whether they vocalize that or not, like, there's something happening here. Like, you can count over and over. If God has put you in that situation, as He has impressed upon you this person in front of you, there's something that He's doing in that moment.
Yeah,
and you can trust that. Yeah.
God will not waste your time.
Yeah, like even just like showing people love, like they'll be like, that person's got something I don't, because, you know, they're showing me love that I don't have. And, you know, they'll start thinking, like, I mean, in New Orleans, my old neighborhood, like, the kids are just left to themselves. Like, you show them love, and they'll want to know more about this. And then you share the gospel, and they're like, that's what I want. So.
God's word will never come back void. It goes out there. People may not seem like they're receiving it, but it's there. May not be at that very moment, but there's some reason that you're supposed to be saying or doing something at that time.
Right.
You know, one of the things was about the time we started the well. I really felt the Lord telling me that He was going to send me to new places. And each new place He sends me to, I'm supposed to pray for revival. I've been doing that for 4 years now. All over the country, stopping somewhere to pray for revival. And I write it, I put it on our Facebook page every time, just to track all those places I've been. And, you know, a lot of times the first thought is, you know, this is silly, you know, maybe the Lord's really not telling me this. When there have been times where I've been able to go back to those places, and God will show me a sign that revival is taking place there. Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't always get to see what's happening. You just have to trust God and obey Him and trust that He called you to do that specific thing and lead the rest of Him.
It's like planting that little bitty seed,
right.
The mustard seed. It's so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
You're planting it and you're thinking, oh, before you long, you see this little plant come up, start springing up, and before you know it, you have a whole patch of them. That's what it's all about.
You know, one of the weird things about seeds, I teach science. But seeds, well, I just want to tell you this, because when he keeps talking about a seed,
mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to think that every one of those little seeds, if you've never seen a mustard seed, they are tiny, tiny.
Tiny, tiny.
There is an embryonic, a little baby plant already formed in there that already has these two little baby leaves in it. Or one little baby leaf, depending on the type of seed. But
she's a biologist.
Well, no, really.
But there really is. There's already an embryonic plant. Mm-hmm. And what it needs is to encounter water.
Water.
So when you know that, it takes the whole meaning of a well to a whole new place. Because God's already formed in every, that faith, that little bit is there. It's that seed is there. It just needs to be the water, encounter the water.
And for him to say that if we can have the faith as a grain of mustard seed,
a grain of
how tiny! That's so, so tiny.
Small.
And look how much it can do.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It'll form a plant.
Totally amazing.
A big plant.
So I'm gonna close us in prayer. But before doing so, I just want everybody to, you know, in Nelson and Mary's situation, they shared about, you know, Nelson's struggle, and then here Mary was, well, you got to do this, you need to do whatever. Sometimes we need people like that in our lives. Sometimes we need people, whether it be accountability or whether it just be to kind of push us just a little further on or even live life together. And so in us talking specifically about being a witness, I assure you, I can point you to opportunities to where you can partner with people that are involved in doing things like that, to where if that's kind of a scary thing or it's just a difficult thing, there's opportunities for you to get past those things and truly be his witness. If that's something you're interested in, I'd be happy to talk to you about that. But really, the simplicity of it is sometimes it takes being in community, and that's something that we have here that's an awesome thing, to then take these things further. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for just being here with us this morning. Lord God, I just pray that you have spoken clearly to each one of us, Lord, on your call, God, not on mine, not on any pastor or religious movement, God, but on your desire, your call for us to be your witness. And I pray, Father God, that we would truly understand that no matter what gifts you've given us, no matter what specific areas you may have called us to, there still is an opportunity to be your witness aside from those other gifts we may have. So, Lord, we just pray that for those here that feel fearful, feel awkward, just as I do myself sometimes, Lord, God, I pray that you would give us boldness. Father, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, equip us, Lord, with the availability to trust you, to depend upon you, rather than feeling like this is something we have to do. Because it's not about us. It's about proclaiming who you are. And so, Father, I just pray that you would equip us with that availability, Lord. God, that we our thinking would be different. Lord, that we would not carry those mentalities in being fearful of man or how something may go. But, Lord, we just trust you completely. Lord, I pray that as we go forward from this time, Lord, that you would just watch over each one of our families, our homes. I pray, Father, that you would be with us this work week. Lord, everything, God, that you want us to accomplish, Lord, I pray that you would aid us in doing so. And so, Father, we just praise you for all of your goodness, all of your mercy, Lord, that is at work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.